This is Sarah Bannon with The Versatile Writer, and I've caught up again with Hannah from Pages, Places and Plates. Which three books did you look at this time?
Hello, Sarah. So I've got three. We first of all got Dear Edward by Anne Napolitano, which is a novel. Another novel I read was Cairo, Time to Go Home by B.G. Anne Shibahara. And then the third book I looked at this month was non-fiction, a memoir called At the Narrow Waist of the World by Marlena Majoru Barath.
Excellent. Gosh, you've been busy.
Yes.
Right, let's start with Dear Edward. What was the synopsis of this book?
So it's quite an interesting synopsis, which really drew me into the book. And I should mention, this is one that was on NetGalley, so the author didn't ask me to review it, but rather I saw it and I just thought, oh, I've got to read that. So basically, this story is about a boy called Edward. He's about 13 years old, and he's the sole survivor of a plane crash. All 300 and something people on board die, including his parents and his brother, and he's the only one that survives. So the story is basically focused around his recovery, if you can call it recovery, after the everything happened, and he has his whole life flipped upside down. But we also follow the lives of the people on the plane before the crash as well, so we learn a little bit about those people.
So was it told in flashback?
Half of it was, yeah, some of it. So the main bulk of the story is told from when Edward wakes up after the incident. He's quite battered, but then he goes to move with his aunt and uncle in a completely different state, and he's obviously got no family apart from them. He's got no friends, he has to go to a new school, and he's got to learn to walk again. So a lot is focused on that, but there are a lot of flashbacks. So the other part of the novel, which kind of weaves in and out of the main story, is we follow from the moment Edward gets to the airport with his parents and brother, up to the moment that the plane actually crashes. So we follow that side of the story as well.
So it sounds harrowing stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's really harrowing. It's even more harrowing because you know what's going to happen. So you're reading it, and even though you know everyone's going to die, and you're learning about them, and you're thinking, oh God, I really don't want this person to die. And then you're thinking, maybe, just maybe, at the end, it's all going to be fine. And then you get to the end, and no, of course, it's not fine. They've all died. And it is really tragic.
It's really bittersweet,
yeah,
isn't it?
And I knew it was going to be tragic, but I didn't realise there would be so much focus on the other people on the plane. And even though they're strangers, you learn about their stories and the issues they're going through, and it's really sad.
You're engaging with everyone, and then suddenly they're gone.
They're taken away from you, yeah.
So did the cover art convey its theme?
Yeah, the cover art's really interesting, actually, because it doesn't give away quite how emotional it's going to be. It's a very cute image. It's dark blue, it's got some stars on it, and then it's got a little plane flying, and it's kind of almost cartoony, but in a cute way. And then it's got Dear Edward written in nice, very modern, not swirly handwriting, but just a very modern, nice, skinny print. So the cover was the other thing that drew me in, because it is beautiful, but I'd say it doesn't give away quite how heart-wrenching it's going to be. It looks like it's going to have a nice, happy ending. It doesn't.
Spoiler alert.
But that's not a spoiler, because it already says on the back that
what does the author put themselves through to write something that harrowing?
I don't know. I think it must have been horrific writing it, because it really is. It's hard to read. And then when I got towards the end bits of the book, like, I couldn't put it down, but I also didn't want to read it because I didn't want the crash to happen. I know that sounds really silly.
Oh, it's kind of so, like, involved.
Yeah, I was thinking if I just put it down, then they won't die. Yeah.
If you could interview this author, what would you ask them?
I think I'd ask them where they got the idea from, because it's one of those ones you think, God, I wish I'd written that. You know, it's really good. I'd like to know what inspired her to write it, and I'd also like to know how she did her research for it, because I've never known someone write a 13-year-old boy with, like, a complete trauma like that so accurately. She must have done some really intensive research for Edward, because it's written from his point of view, and it's just amazing.
Well, the imagery is so, you know, pronounced as well. So I wonder if it would be a really good film.
Oh, it would.
Who do you think would play Edward?
Oh, I don't know. It would have to be a younger actor. I'm not very clued up on young actors, but it would have to be a very, very good actor. Mm. Someone who's really good at acting as a disassociated person. Someone who's, because Edward does leave his old self behind in the book at the start. He was Ed when he was at the airport. After the crash, he's Edward. Ed is gone. Ed died with his family in his head. So that's really interesting as well. And the way that Anne pulled that off is like amazing.
So would you read another from this song?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I mean, this is her most recent book. It's not actually out till January 2020. So it's still got a couple of months, but she has written some previous ones as well. So I would love to have a look at those.
Sounds fantastic. Okay, tell us about the next one on your list.
Okay, so that was At the Narrow Waist of the World by Marlena Majori Barath. And this is a memoir. So Marlena grew up in Panama. And she grew up with a mother with quite interesting mental health issues. There's no diagnosis mentioned, like no actual diagnosis mentioned, because that was something that the family struggled with, but definitely some kind of borderline personality disorder vibes, that sort of it's definitely a personality disorder that she had. So she basically speaks about what it was like growing up with her mother in that way, and also what it was like having to have the culture shock of moving from Panama to the US for college. And I didn't know much about Panama when I started reading this book. I knew pretty much nothing about the country. But it's family is so important in Panama, like much more than here. We're quite like we love our families and whatnot, but family is the central focus of everything in Panama, and it's all about having lots of people over all the time and having family gatherings, and you do everything for your family. So for her to then go over to the US without her family, where people were not like that, is a massive change. So I can only imagine it must have been very difficult.
Culture shock.
Yeah, definitely.
So what era is this set in?
I don't know. It was a while ago, so she's writing about her as she was a child growing up, so
1950s,
yeah, 60s. I think around that sort of time, yeah.
So how does the title convey the content? It's called At the Narrow Waist of the World.
Yeah, and so that's actually a description of Panama itself. So if you look at Panama on the map, it's got Nicaragua on the left and Colombia on the right, and it's kind of like this little thin thread connecting the two. It is a really narrow country, and it has been described by, I'm sure there was, it might have been the president, it was someone important anyway, who described Panama as the narrow waist of the world. It was quite important as well, there was some exports and things, so you do learn a little bit about the history of it, which is quite interesting. So that's kind of how it fits in, because even though the focus is more so on Marlena growing up with her mother, Panama has a massive influence on everything within the story.
So what feelings did the book evoke in you?
Well, the mental health side was really interesting. I think I'm quite understanding of mental health already, given my career and everything. But it kind of really put it into perspective, like what it's like to live with someone who struggles with that. But more interestingly, to be a child living with a parent. And that was fascinating, and that was quite emotive. Because I think children are very perceptive and they know something's going on, even if they can't necessarily understand the details of it, which is kind of what we were talking about earlier, actually. Yeah, that's quite interesting, is that she understands that her mum is gravely unwell and she knows that she can't do anything to help it, but she still has to carry on with life. And it is very interesting to view that from a child's point of view.
And in that era, they wouldn't really have been looking at it as they do now.
Interestingly, I think that's a cultural thing, though, because I was thinking about this, and if this situation was in England, the mother would have been, like, locked up, and no one would have talked about her, because we were useless. And I mean, we are getting better at it now, but we were just absolutely rubbish in the past with dealing with this sort of thing, whereas the family are very loving with her, and they're very understanding. She attends all the social gatherings still, and if she does have, like, an outburst or a breakdown or something, the parents are kind of just, they explain it to the kids and they're like, it's fine, it's just what happens, it'll pass, and they're wildly understanding about it, which I didn't expect from that.
No. So what do you think was the author's motive to write this book then?
I think she just had a really good story to tell. She had two very prevalent themes, so the mental health and the culture shock, and I think both of them combined are just so interesting. And I think if I'd had a past like that, I would have wanted to get it out there. I'd want people to hear my story, even if it is to use to maybe help someone go through a similar thing. So I think a lot of people will be able to relate to living with someone with mental health issues, especially nowadays. So it was kind of comforting in a way to read about someone else growing up.
Did you feel the length was right for this kind of story?
Yeah, it was a fairly short book, but it was it was meaty enough. Chapters were nice as well. I really liked how the chapters were laid out, because some of them were like a few pages, some of them were literally a paragraph, which I really love that in books. I love short chapters, and I find that helps the pacing. I'm not a massive fan of chapters that go on forever, so I liked that. And also her writing style is very poetic. It was almost written like fiction, which I thought was really cool.
Lovely. Was it a dip in and out book or reading one go?
Both. I know I always say that. Both, because the chapters...
Dipped in and out in one go.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. No, I mean, the chapters, I read it over a few days, so it is quite easy to pick up and then put down and then pick back up, especially with the short chapters. But then, again, the short chapters kind of lend itself to reading all in one go, because it's just so easy to go, oh, just another one. And then before you know it, you've read it all.
So would you read another book from this author?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Was the setting as important as the characters, do you think?
Yeah, the setting was crucial. I don't think, even though I think it still would have been a really interesting story, say it had been written about someone in the UK, that whole Panama vibe just added so much. And it's quite interesting, she does write some phrases in Spanish, and she explains at the start of the book she does this because there's just no real English translation that fully kind of conveys what she's trying to say, because we don't have that family thing going on that they do in Spain and so and Spanish countries, so a lot of their phrases are relating to that, and they just come out cold when you say them in English, you know? So, and she does say this, they're a lot warmer when you read them in their original Spanish, which I liked.
So were you able to understand it?
Yeah, she does explain, yeah.
So you speak some Spanish, don't you?
Limited, I didn't know much. I did have to kind of get the context to understand, but she does explain what she means when she uses a Spanish phrase, but it's just nicer to read it in its original language, I think.
Yeah, it's got some colour to it, hasn't
it?
So what did you like and dislike the most about this one?
I liked the writing style most, because as I said, it was so poetic. And I think that's really clever, and I'm really envious of writers that can write that way, because I think if I try and write something like a memoir, it comes out a little bit narrative, you know.
We're so self-critical, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's a writer thing. Can't be a writer if you don't criticise yourself constantly. I really liked that. As for things I didn't like, I'm not really sure. Because, I mean, she could have maybe gone into more detail, I think, of the mental health side of things. But I wonder if that's just because that's where my interest is vested, I guess is the word. I enjoyed the mental health growing up side of things more than I did when she moved to the US. Even though I do find cultural changes very interesting, I just felt there was more life given to the other side of things. But again, that could just be because of my personal preferences.
It works. Yeah. So tell me about the final book.
And the final book is called Cairo, possibly pronouncing that wrong, Time to Go Home, which is by Bijian Shibahara, who's a Japanese author. So this one is really interesting, actually. I wasn't sure if I was going to like this book, and I completely fell in love with it. So it's about a woman called Meryl. So Meryl is a widow from the Vietnam War, and she receives a World War II flag one day, which is from a family in Japan. She doesn't have a husband anymore. Her son has gone over to Japan to teach, so she doesn't see him anymore. And she's really not got that much going for her in America, and she realises this, and she kind of realises that she hasn't done anything with her life. She's looked after her son and everything, but she hasn't gone out there and done anything new since her husband passed away. So she makes, after speaking to a professor who teaches in where she lives, she makes the quite brave decision to just take the flag to Japan and find the family and give it back. And it's really interesting because she's still kind of grieving her husband after all those years, and she's grieving the fact that she didn't do much with her life. And then there's obviously the family are grieving, and so grief is a really big theme within it. But love is as well, because the professor kind of falls in love with Meryl at first sight, and then he tells her to go off to Japan. So that's quite interesting. And then she meets lots of people. So she goes and stays with the school where her son teaches at. He's not there at this point, but she meets all of his kind of co-workers, and she develops relationships with them, and there's lots of things going on in their lives as well. So it's really fascinating.
Why did you want to review it, though? I mean, reading it is one thing, but reviewing it is another, isn't it?
I think the thing that drew me to it was Japan, because I'm really fascinated by Japan. It's somewhere I want to visit in the future. I love the culture. I love the architecture, the landscapes out there. I love everything about Japan. So that was something that made me want to read it. I was quite hesitant because there is a historical fiction element to it, and I don't usually enjoy historical fiction because I find it a little bit too heavy. But I decided to read it anyway, and I'm really glad I did. And yeah, it just sounded really interesting because it just sounded like something a little bit different.
So which character stood out for you most and why?
All of the characters were very well developed, because it's a very character-driven story, but there was one in particular that I found really fascinating called Ms. Kawanashi. So Ms. Kawanashi isn't actually central to the plot at all, really. She's a student, an elderly student, at the teaching school where Meryl is staying, and she has the most vivid and rich history. So she grew up during the war, World War II, and it was just really fascinating how you kind of saw the war through her eyes. And there was a whole section devoted to Miss Kawanashi. And as I said, it has nothing to do with the main plot, really, but I'm so glad it was put in there because it added this sort of extra depth to the story that sometimes you might not get with more plot-driven books. So yeah, she was a really interesting character. I also loved the professor, and I felt quite sorry for him that he just kind of sent Meryl off to Japan on her own, without him. but he did look after a dog, which is very sweet of him. And yeah, Meryl was a very interesting character too. It was really interesting seeing her personality develop and her life come back to her as she kind of explored Japan.
What did you think about the book's length?
Well, it is a very long book, and it's one of those ones that came through the post and I thought, oh wow, I'm going to have to spend a long time reading this. I'll need to start this well in advance. And I don't usually like long books, I'll admit, because my attention span isn't great, and I get like that sort of overwhelmingness, you know, when you have a new book that's really big and you think you just don't want to start
intimidated.
Yeah, that's the word. But I actually really enjoyed the length because I kind of split it into sections and I just sat and read a little bit each day and I just really savoured it. So yeah, I think the length was good because without that length you would not have been able to get everything across and it wouldn't have been as rich a story.
So how original was this book?
I think it's very original because I can't think of any books that it's similar to. So I was thinking about the genre with it when I was writing it, and it's really hard to categorise into one genre because I think I mentioned that it does have a historical fiction element to it, but it's not historical fiction per se because the present story, the main story, is in the present. The historical fiction comes from the stories from the past, like Miss Kawanashi, for example, and kind of the bits where you find a little bit more about Meryl's husband and his role in the Vietnam War and so on. So it's not historical fiction. It's a love story, but it's not a romance.
it's not.
And it's definitely a story. It's almost like a coming of age story for an older person, if that makes sense. I know that is technically a genre. I know that's a genre within women's fiction, is women having a new lease of life and realizing their life hasn't been what it should have been, and then suddenly having that coming of age experience in, like, say, the 50s, for example. So it kind of fits into that, but it's not women's fiction, so it doesn't. So, yeah, I mean, it really just needs a shelf of its own, and then it can just be there as its own original book. It's very original.
That sounds wonderful, actually. So what did you like best about it?
I liked the pace, which a lot of people may disagree with me on this, because I noticed there was a bit of a Marmite response to the pace on Goodreads, and so some of us absolutely loved it. It's so slow and deliberate, and like I said, I just took a little bit each day and savoured it, and it was like my special me time where I got my book out and I just sat and read and I had no distractions and it was lovely. It's a pace I'm not very used to. I do like read a lot of thrillers, for example, where it's just like go, go, go all the time, but I really enjoyed being able to just step back and like just be with something and be immersed in it. However, a lot of people on Goodreads didn't like the pace because they felt it was too slow. So if you're someone that doesn't like slow-paced books, you want some action, you want something that's plot-driven, then I would say this one isn't for you. But if you are more on the literary side of things, definitely.
So will you be looking for more from this author?
Yeah, I will, yeah. I'm not sure if she's written anything previously, but if she writes something in the future, I'll definitely read it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on The Versatile Writer.
Okay, thank you.
Perhaps you can let us know how to get in touch.
Yes, so best way to contact me is via email, which is pagesplacesandplates@gmail.com, where you can request reviews if you want, or just get in touch with any questions. If you are requesting a review, check out my reviews policy on my blog. That's www.pagesplacesandplates.wordpress.com, and you can see all my other reviews and things there. I'm also on Twitter, so my handle is pageplaceplate. On Instagram, it's pages.places.plates. And then finally on Facebook, it's pages, places and plates.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's all right.